If you would like to turn in your Bibles this morning to the 20th chapter of Exodus, this is the first time that we find the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Did you know they are recorded another time? How many of you are aware of another time the Ten Commandments are recorded again in Scripture? Who knows what book of the Bible the second time is in? Do you know? Good. Emma knows. What is it? Deuteronomy, did you know that the name of that book means the second law? And so Israel was reminded again of the Ten Commandments just before they entered the Promised Land. Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have today, such liberty and freedom that we can meet together without restriction, without hindrance, with all liberty to read the Scriptures, to worship the Lord Jesus, to sing His praises, to pray to You, to fellowship one with another without fear of imprisonment. We know, Lord, that the times of liberty for Christians in history are relatively few. More times God's people have been persecuted for their faith than they have had times of liberty and freedom. So we dare not take this for granted. And we are looking to You this morning, Lord, to open the Scriptures to our hearts. Help us to have our hearts open to Your Word. Help us to welcome the Scriptures, welcome the truth of Your Word, and to respond to it, to have a longing to obey what You say to us in the Holy Book. Now guide us and lead us. We pray that all the foolish armor the world would equip us with in the week to restrain us from hearing and receiving Your Word, that we can cast it all aside. There is no defense against the sword of the Scripture, the sword of the Spirit. Now feed us and lead us and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text, the last time, at least in the near future, that we'll be looking at verse 12 in Exodus chapter 20. The last time we're going to be looking at the fifth commandment. Second table of the law begins with a commandment that refers to our relationship with our father and mother. Isn't it interesting that when the Lord begins to deal with us about loving our neighbor, He first starts at home. Who's my closest neighbor? Mom and Dad. Who are my closest neighbors? Our children. And so the Lord says to us here in His Word, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now we've been considering 3 weeks the first phrase, honor thy father and thy mother. And this morning we want to look at the promise. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, chapter 6, that this is the commandment with promise. This is the first commandment with promise, that honoring our father and mother brings blessing. And so we want to consider that this morning. We want to think about how it is that considering our parents to have substance and value. We looked at the picture of a set of scales and how that our parents in one side of the scales need to be balanced by the honor we show to them in the other side of the scales. It's not a reference at all to a physical matter for us to say that our parents are weighty in character and value and virtue and counsel, and for us to show respect to them in agreement to their value to us. And then as we examined the Scriptures about this, we found that word honor includes the thought of being subject to our parents, to submit to our parents, to obey our parents. And so as I look around in the congregation this morning and I see lots of boys and girls here, I guess you all did that this week perfectly, didn't you? Titus, and Micah, and Jeshua, and Simeon, and Faith, and Rebecca. And as I look around this morning, and here's Jeshua over here, and Noah, that you all just perfectly honored your father and mother this week. Is that right? Good. Micah says it is. I'm not going to look at his father to see what his dad says about this. But let's consider the promise in this commandment. that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There is a promise in this commandment. God will extend your life in the place he provides for you. We want to see what is contained in this. There are two proofs of God's love here. First of all, that God would give us long life, full life, productive life, enjoyable life, life that would last for many years, and he would do that in the place which we have claimed by faith, the land that we live in. Now, this particularly applies to the Jews, and we'll see how it applies to them in a moment. But we want to think about this great truth, that there is security and fruitfulness in obedience to our authorities. There is blessing in obedience to those God has set in our lives to lead and guide us. And so we can say life goes better when we honor our parents. Life goes better when we obey God, when we submit to our authorities. And it raises a question then. How is this true? God's word is always true. We do not ever have to ask the question, is this true? But we can ask the question, how is this true? It is true. It's in God's word. It's completely reliable and trustworthy. There's no doubt about what God says and no doubt that it will be true. But how is this true? How does this work out in practical experience? Well, let me suggest, I think I have four things to say to you, or five this morning. First of all, this is true for all men. If you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to go from the first of our Bible to the last of our Bible. We're about seven books from the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'd like you to follow along as I read from verse 8 down to verse 13. It is true for all men, God blesses those who love God and love their neighbors. Let's read from verse 8. Follow along with me, 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful or full of pity, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now watch verse 10 very closely. For he that will love life and see good days. That's a summary of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. That thou mayest live long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, let him hate evil, and do good. Let him seek peace, and ensue it, or pursue it, follow it. Let him seek peace, and ensue it, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? This is a verse in the New Testament addressed to Christians. This is not a verse addressed to the Jews of the Old Testament. These are verses addressed to the Christians in the New Testament. You want the good life? Almost everybody says they want the good life. You hardly ever meet anyone that would deny that. You want the good life? Turn from sin. Seek God. These verses teach us that God is watching and listening. Do you see in verse 12? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God is watching and listening, and God will reward you. How many times have we seen this happen? That someone in simplicity, without ornamentation, without display, sets out to love the Lord, to love their neighbor, to treat their neighbor kindly, to love even those that don't love them. And as time passes, we see blessing come into the lives more and more and more. This principle is all the way through the Word of God. You want to see the good life? Want to live the good life? Love God and love your neighbor. And then consider with me the second way this is true, that honoring our parents brings blessing. Obedience to God brings blessing. And it is this, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. What we sow is what we reap. We tend to know this truth almost inherently, almost without being taught this truth. But I'd like you to read the verses again with me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How often do we see this acted out in life? We reap what we sow. I think it's possible for someone to trick us into sowing what we did not intend to sow. And if we had been vigilant, we would never have sowed what we sowed. Years ago, I was teaching a course on ethics in a Bible college, and a brother loaned me some notes that he had written, or that his teacher had written, and the student had loaned them to me from another Bible college. And he told in the notes how that there was a young man that worked in a hardware store that had a feed store attached to it, had all sorts of grains and all sorts of seeds and everything. And he told his workmates, he said, "I'm getting married, we're buying a little house, and before we go away on our honeymoon, every spare minute, I'm digging out the old grass and the old weeds, and I'm completely stripping the ground, and just before we leave to go on our honeymoon, I'm going to sow grass seed and rake it in and water it good. There's a time when rains come, so when they come back, I should have a garden starting. My grass should be starting to grow." Well, his workmates were terribly devious. And that young man that got a bag of grass seed, when he went off to lunch, his mates got some radish seed, and they got some cabbage seed, and they got some carrot seed, and they got this and that and the other. And they put it in his bag of grass seed, and they shook it all up and closed the top. And he came back to work in simplicity, took his bag of seed home, raked the ground, sowed the seed, raked it again, watered it good. Next day he got married and went off on a honeymoon. And when he came back, everything in the world is coming up in his yard. Everything. There was a little bit of grass, but a whole lot of other stuff. And that poor fellow, it is reported that that poor fellow worked for years digging carrots and radishes and everything out of his yard. Oh, be vigilant what you sow. Don't let someone trick you into sowing disobedience, dishonor toward our parents. Be careful what you sow. Think with me about three Bible characters. The Scripture says that we will reap what we sow. Can an Ahab expect peace from God who slew his neighbor because he coveted his vineyard? Can Ahab expect peace? No, he can expect an arrow between the joints of the harness and his armor in battle. Can a Jezebel expect long life and a peaceful death, who slew the prophets of God? Can an Absalom ascend his father's throne with blessing, who murdered his brother and rebelled against his father? We must remember, oh friends, we must remember that the Scripture teaches ever so plainly, be sure your sin will find you out I want to call your attention to a verse in Proverbs along this line. And if you'd like to turn there, turn with me to Proverbs 28. In Proverbs 28 and verse number 13. Good verse to memorize in family devotion. Proverbs 28 verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, friends, we do reap what we sow. I have to say to you that if you sow honor and respect and obedience, submission and subjection to your parents, and you are respectful toward them, and you appreciate them, and you listen to them, and you learn from them, young people, you can reap that when you are a parent. But if you sow rebellion and disobedience and disrespect, you refuse to do what mother and father ask you to do, then you can reap that when you are a parent. Oh, what a challenge. What an awesome responsibility it is to us as young people and children to show respect, to honor our father and mother. Then consider with me a third truth in this. How does this work out that if I honor my parents, I'll have a long, fruitful life and enjoy God's blessings? We need to look at this in the context for a moment. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, the fifth book of our Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We need to consider this in the context of God's covenant with Israel. I'm going to ask you a trick question, and so I'll tell you it's a trick question before I ask you this question. Was it ever possible for anyone to keep the Ten Commandments in order to get to heaven? Don't answer out loud. Was it possible for anyone to keep the Ten Commandments in order to get the forgiveness of their sins? Was it possible? Well, you know the answer, I think. The answer is no. God never promised to forgive the sins of a person who honored their parents, but he did promise temporal blessings, long life on the land. So I've been going through the Old Testament, I've been going through the books of the law. I'm getting close to the end of Deuteronomy. Been in the books of the law now for several months. And as I'm reading along, every time I come across something that talks about temporal blessings, that means blessings in this life, healthy children, many children, fruitful land, animals that bear their young without loss, without miscarrying their young, and so on like this, that God would send the early rain and the latter rain. And you see all of these earthly blessings related to Israel's commandments God gave to Israel. These are particularly the law to Israel. So consider with me in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we could read the whole chapter. Can I encourage you to read the whole chapter? But look with me at verse 9 and 10. It says, "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." Now that's the tenor of this chapter. The thought there is, obey the commandments of God and you will find blessing. Now, there were false religions among the Gentiles that lived near the land and in the land of the Jews. The Philistines and the Amorites, the Moabites, and all of the others had false religions that actually followed the worship of gods that originated with Nimrod back in Babylon. In fact, most of these gods were patterned after Nimrod and his wife. And Nimrod had founded a false religion that looked to the sun, moon, and stars and said, if we worship them, we will have fertile land and fertile bodies, and our lands will bring out crops and our animals will bear their young. And so he had a fertility cult that exists to this day and is found in all the false religions around the world. But God said, no, turn away from that. Those are lies. Trust in me. I will make a covenant with you, O nation of Israel, and if you will obey my commandments, I'll give you children, I'll give you rain, I'll give you crops, I'll make your land fruitful, I'll make your body fruitful. And that fruitfulness was related to their obedience to God. Did you know? Maybe you better fasten your seatbelt. Everybody fasten your seatbelt. Get it on. Tighten it up good now. Because I'm going to say something that you might hit the dashboard over. All right? I don't want you to hit the dashboard. Is the airbag working on the seat in front of you? Did you know that we do not have, under grace, in the New Testament, in our salvation, we do not have in our salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ upon the cross, dying for our sins, buried and raised again, we do not have the promise of temporal blessings. But God is good. And God does good to us. And He is kind to us. But it does not have to do with keeping a list of rules, even God's rules. It does not have to do, and you will not find in the New Testament what is taught wrongly by many false prophets in our day who preach what is called the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. We should call it a false gospel. And there are many people, false prophets today, who will take one or some or all, or especially the commandment about the Sabbath day, and they'll take some of these commandments and they will say, Christian, if you will do this, God will make you rich and healthy and prosperous and famous. And I like to say to them, take the New Testament and show me where we are promised money and health and prosperity and success. I can take the New Testament and tell you from Ephesians chapter 1 that God hath blessed us with all, what? Spiritual blessings. The Lord did not promise to fill my wallet up. He did not promise to fill my pantry up. He often says, go out and work for it. But He did not say that He will keep the petrol tank full or that the kids will always be well or that the dog will never bite the postie. He's never promised me those things. In the New Testament, under grace, that does not belong to believers. You find those promises to Israel in the Old Testament. So let me use just a real quick illustration here. Who can I pick on? Who can I see? Okay, here's Will back here, all right? Will gets a phone call this week from a solicitor. And the solicitor says, is your name Will Onus? And he said, yep. And he says, well, I've got news for you. Come in and talk to me. So Will goes in to see the solicitor, and the solicitor says, Will, you had a wealthy uncle you didn't know about, and he passed away, and he's left you a bundle of money. And so Will says, whoa, wow, how much? $50? $100? He says, no, $50 million. So Will goes, clunk, on the floor like that. And the solicitor gives, the lawyer gives him some smelling salts and wakes him up, and he gets him back in the chair. And so Will can't keep a secret, so he rings me up. And he says, Pastor, guess what? And I say, what? And he says, I had a rich uncle that died, and he left me $50 million. And I go, woo, clunk, on the floor. So he has to come over and wake me up so he can get me up again. Now, do I have any right to say to him, fork over, mate? Give me some. He should say to me, no, Pastor. This last will and testament is made out to me. To Him. And that is a covenant with Him. Now what He does with it, how much He uses, how much He saves, how much He spreads around, I hope it doesn't ruin Him. Most times it does. And what He does with it is His business. And I may say, I'm happy for you. That's wonderful. God's answered your prayers. You can pay off your ute. Woohoo! And all sorts of things like this. And rejoice with Him. Well, I have no right to stick my hand out. And we need to exercise caution, though there are lessons to be learned, and God is gracious, and God is generous. We need to exercise caution about barging into the Old Testament and claiming a covenant promise between God and his people Israel and saying, this belongs to me. Oh, I can learn some lessons from that. And God is good and God is kind. But he did not promise me or the church some of the things he promised Israel. I wish I could tell you more things along this line. If you have difficulty with this, please come talk to me. I'm not nearly as belligerent as I look. My wife will tell you that I'm a nice person sometimes. If she feeds me scones in the morning, yes, we had some this morning. Very nice. Keeping the law never gained for any man entry into heaven nor forgave their sins. But keeping the law brought temporal blessings that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Temporal blessings for Israel. And then a fourth truth. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. How does this work out that honoring our father and mother brings blessing? How does this work out? Can I encourage every family, every father who leads his family in devotions, can I encourage all of you to work your way through the book of Proverbs? Did you know that you have in the book of Proverbs a universal encyclopedia of human experience? I worked my way through the book of Proverbs one time listing every character type I could find. The foolish man, the diligent man, the wise man, the thoughtful man. And I worked through all of those, the strange woman, everyone. And I listed every verse I could find under every category. You want a list of the verses? I'll give them to you. It'll keep you going in family devotions for 25 years. And there's just so much about all these character types. And did you know that everybody in my street fits in that book of Proverbs? And everybody in our town? I don't want to offend you, but everybody in this church fits in that book of Proverbs? And so when you come to chapter 1, consider with me what it says at the first of the chapter, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. According to verse 4, who is the book written for? Written for young people. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The next verse is one of the most important verses to me. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. A wise man will hear, verse 5. But when you get down to verse 8, a father begins to instruct his son. And the mother is involved as well. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Here is really valuable jewels. Ornament of grace. The instruction of the father, the law of the mother is valuable jewels. As a crown on his head, a necklace around his neck. And then in verse 10 down to verse 19, the father begins to talk to his son about the company he keeps. Boys and girls, we often think that mom and dad don't know very much, and we're so wrong. Mom and dad are taller than you most times, for a long time they are, and they can see more than you can see. And they've been through a lot of these knocks. And if you ask them, they'll show you some scars where they made some wrong choices. And now they know better. And they'd like to share their wisdom with you. Susan and I were in the state of Ohio way back in 1971 or somewhere along there, driving along an interstate highway on the north of the city of Cincinnati. We're getting ready to turn north, listening to the wireless, and there was a helicopter flying over the city giving traffic reports, and very close to Easter, just the weekend before Easter. And the man in the helicopter said, any of you who are wanting to go into Kentucky, turning south and going down the interstate into Kentucky, find another way to go. The traffic is blocked up for 14 miles, almost 25 kilometers, from the bridge 14 miles north. Well, we were turning the other way. But I learned a lesson out of this. Because that man in the helicopter is looking down from a perspective I didn't have. And other drivers did not have. And as he looked down, he could see the blockage on the road. Just packed tight. Nobody's going to be going anywhere for an hour or two or three. And he could look down and see it, so he sent out a warning to all of us. I hope there were some people that said, I know another way, and escaped having to go that way. Did you know that's what parents are doing when they say to children, watch out, be careful, don't go with those boys, don't go with that girl, don't go into that activity, don't listen to their lies. Read the lies with me here. The father says to his son in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, if they want to tempt you into wrong behavior, consent thou not, say no. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Does that sound like gangs in our day? Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. This is what these people are saying to the young men. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. We'll get rich. All we have to do is knock this old fellow over and we'll get rich. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And that's the temptation. The idea is go with us. We will do someone violence and we will be wealthy out of it and we'll share it all. And that's the temptation that's presented to young people, to children and young people. Isn't it necessary, parents, for us to be watching always? The father says in verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. We were in the second pastorate, and someone said there's a young girl that's just had a baby, and she needs a place to stay because her husband tried to rob a bank. Drove into the drive-thru, pointed a gun at the teller, said, give me all your money. And, of course, his rego plate was photographed, and he was caught just down the street, just like that. So he was taken to jail. There's two problems here, aren't there? Somewhere down the road, previously, he had been involved in petty thefts, or his friends had been doing that, and he had decided he could go for the big hit. And somewhere down the road, his wife made a choice to go out with him and marry him. Now she's got his child, dependent upon the charity of others, while he sits in jail. You know, if there had been parents there that could have taught him and taught her, don't go with those don't go with them. I just thank the Lord so much that when I was a teenager, there was a boy in our town. He died not long ago, same grade as me. We went to the same church. I never saw any indication that he'd trusted the Lord. But we went to the same church, and we were there in high school, and then I lost track of him. But when we were in high school, we used to go fishing together, or we'd go tramping here and there. We'd go exploring together. And one day, my dad pulled me aside and said, son, I don't want you going places with him anymore. And I tried to defend him. I said, but Dad, he's my friend. He said, I don't care if he's your friend. I don't want you going any place with him anymore. Now, I was not wise enough to say to Dad, Dad, unwrap this for me. Tell me what this is all about. I wasn't wise enough to know that, to say that. But I'm sure if I had, my dad would have said, son, this is what he's been doing. The reports are that he's doing this. This is what I've observed. This is what his friends do. This is what his parents do. It's not safe for you to go with him and do the things he does. And even before I was saved, I realized that Dad was wiser than I was, and so I stepped back from this friend. I didn't see him for probably 15 or 20 years, and one day we were in a church, and he showed up, and I said, "We've got to talk." He said, "Okay." I said, "Come on, let's go get a cup of coffee." So we went out the night after church, and I sat down with him. I said, "Nolan, are you saved?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm saved." I said, "Are you living for God?"
"No."
"Well, it's time you got right. You ought to do it tonight." "I'll do it next Sunday." I never saw him again. I just heard not long ago that he died. And as far as I know, he'd gone further and further into immorality and dishonesty, crookedness. And I look back, I think back to the time that Dad said to me, "Son, step away from him. Don't go with him anymore." And I honored my father and obeyed my dad. Now some of you will say, "I've done that too." And some of you will say, "I wish I had. I wish I had." Because it makes such a difference. You know, dear parents, we can save our children an enormous load of heartache and heartbreak if we say this to them, "Son, when they entice you, don't go that way. Refrain thy foot from their path. Pull back. Leave him alone. Get off that website. Get out of that gaming group. Whatever it is you have to do, get away from them. They're dangerous. They're going to bring harm to you." Most of you know that some of the computer games are as immoral and violent as the movies are. Immoral and violent as real life is. It'd be a good thing for parents to know what their children are into. And say to them, "You're finished with that. That one's gone. Out of here. We'll junk the computer, use a sledgehammer on it, feed the telly a brick, whatever you have to do." I think feeding the telly a brick is one of the best advice, pieces of advice I ever heard. Whatever it takes for parents to give good counsel, and children to say, "Dad, I'm listening." You know, the children who listen find blessing. Long life in the promised land, in things that God has promised to you. We have, at present, we have four generations in our family. A few years ago, there were five generations alive at one time. When Aiden was a baby, Joy and me and my mother and my grandmother had a photo taken. Now, Aiden and Abby are going to have a bub. And the goal is for them to raise that child for God, to raise that child to honor its parents. Seek the Lord, serve the Lord, love our neighbor. That's our objective. Stop saying, it pays to obey. Showing honor to our parents brings blessing to us. I hope you can write that down and keep that. Don't let it get away. We pray, Heavenly Father, for this. We know, Lord, that our objective is not only to live in a way that pleases God and is a help to our neighbors, but our objective is also to have a godly heritage, to have generations that follow on. Follow on and follow on. We're reminded of Keith's mother and dad, and how dear old Esther, before she went home to be with the Lord, had about 100 descendants. And the greater part of them know the Lord and serve the Lord. We're praying for that. Multiply that generation, O Lord. Give us a testimony for Christ in a decadent and wicked world. We pray in Jesus' name.